Saskatchewan. It's time to talk sports. The all-new Sports Cage is on the air. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. And we're always online at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
Saskatchewan, it is the all-new Sports Cage, and we are the home of Rough Rider Training Camp. It is here, and it is real. Welcome to the show on this Wednesday, May 8th. Barney Shankaruk here in the big studio in Regina, up in Saskatoon. Derek Bidwell Colson doing everything fancy on the board over there, and we are going to be joined in moments by the new voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. It is a jam-packed show, as you would suspect. On the first day of rider training camp, we are going to have a lot of training camp coverage with Dave and the team up in Saskatoon. How about a little Hall of Fame action with Weston Dressler joining the Sports Cage today? Hockey fans, don't fret. We got Eric Francis joining us to talk about the NHL playoffs last night in Saskatoon. 14,000-ish people watching another overtime game between the Moose Jaw Warriors and Saskatoon Blades. Moose Jaw pulls it out. Head coach of those Moose Jaw Warriors, Mark O'Leary, going to join us. Also, the Melfort Mustangs are heading to the Centennial Cup, the National Junior A Championship. We talk to them later in the show, and some baseball news. But off the hop, let's go. It is the training camp report for Souls Harbor Rescue Mission in Regina, showing compassion and kindness to our neighbors in need. For more information or to donate, see shrmsk.ca today. Dave Thomas is joining us, and Dave, a nice day training camp wise. I know a lot of the guys seeding out there, and girls seeding out there right now. They're kind of getting back into the field. The rain has stopped. It looked really nice up in Saskatoon, my man.
It was like not raining for the first time in 3 out of 4 days here in Saskatoon. And it was temperatures like it's 21 degrees in Saskatoon right now. It was a little bit windy this morning when the players were on the field, but temperatures were nearing 20, so it wasn't bad. The weather, by the way, brought to you by Quality Tire with 9 locations across Saskatchewan, qualitytire.ca. And it looks like, Barney, the temperatures are going to be like in the 20s for the remainder of rookie camp this week, even into main camp, which of course opens on Sunday.
That is perfect weather when you're out there running, and no back sweat, right? With that, that's just a nice comfy bidsy, you know that, right? Is your training days from the hilltops probably, yeah. perfect temperature, that 20 degrees. All right, also brought to you by Quality Tire, 9 locations across Saskatchewan. Dave, who was your breakout play of the day?
Well, you know what? It was interesting the way that the players came out. And first and foremost, the first surprise that we had at camp today under new head coach Corey Mace was the fact that the teams switched colors. The offense is going to be practicing in green this year, and then the defense is going to be practicing in white. So that caught some attention early on, but boy, the players really worked hard trying to learn some of the nuances of the game, especially some of the new Americans that are up. Of course, there's an extra player on the field. The field's a little bit bigger. So they were working hard, and our breakout play of the day was a Saskatchewan Rough Rider newcomer that really is trying to make a statement. Because, well, we all know AJ Ouellette, right? He is going to get the majority of touches this season in the backfield for the Riders. So being able to add depth to that position is going to be big. And that's where Jerrion Ealy comes in, as he found himself a cutback lane, scampered for 25 yards before the whistle finally sounded. Otherwise, he would have ran all the way to the barns on the other side of campus. Mm-hmm. He was that wide open. It was a quality play. And guys, I had an opportunity to catch up with him after the workout was done and talk a little bit about his impressions on day one at camp.
I enjoyed it. The field's a little bigger. There's an extra man on the field, and the receivers are going forward before the ball is snapped. But other than that, I love it. I'm just great to be out here and get a feel of the game, and you know, it's great to be running around with the boys.
You were running around. You had some big runs when you found some holes, some big cutback lanes and opportunities as well. Tell me about your game and what makes you successful.
Just exploring the defense, getting out into space and using my speed and my quickness to my ability, and with a bigger field, and hey, ain't nothing but space and opportunity out there.
Ole Miss, you got a huge background behind you. How do you find your way to Saskatchewan and Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, from that kind of pedigree?
You know, football is a game where you go out and teams find you. You don't find teams. So, I mean, and that's how I ended up here. And I'm really excited about this opportunity that I have, you know. So I'm ready to get started.
So how do you make the most of that opportunity? What do you need to do to stand out?
Just to make the most of my the plays I'm in, and whenever I get the ball, it makes the most of my plays and my carries, and you know, be a better teammate without the ball than with the ball. So you know, just try to help the team win in any capacity I can.
You're a new guy coming into this team. There's also a new guy that's the head coach of this team. Your impressions of Coach Mace?
I love him. I mean, he's a very enthusiastic guy. He's a very competitive guy, and that's somebody I play and die for. So, I mean, he all right with me.
Well, we were all right with you. Heck of a day today. Congratulations on your first one. Let's keep it going through camp.
Yes, sir. All righty. Thank y'all. See y'all later.
So, yeah, he will see us all later, and that's kind of what he said to the linebackers and defensive backs. See y'all later, as he was running by him for a 25-plus yard scamper. Our breakout play of the day for Quality Tire, with 9 locations across Saskatchewan, qualitytire.ca. So, yeah, he had a great first impression at camp today, my friends.
You know what, Dave? Okay, so you talk about these guys coming, you know, from down south, and the bigger field. Now, I would suspect they're coming in knowing what they're dealing with and all that, but it is massive compared to an NFL field.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't want to say funny, because that's wrong, because that sounds negative. Mm-hmm. One of the most impactful moments, I thought, was when Catley Joseph, he's a defensive back that used to play for the Saskatchewan Huskies. He played halfback his entire time in U Sports. Well, they had him lined up at safety, and he was actually going ahead and helping out the corner and the half and the secondary as they were working on various alignments. And the one thing that they had to encounter was, okay, oh my gosh, there's this guy that's running before the ball has been snapped, and he's running all the way across the field.
Yeah. No.
So you can imagine what was going through his mind. But Catley Joseph did a nice job, the Husky, in going ahead and setting up his teammates.
It was years ago. I was living down in Flagstaff, Arizona, and there was a guy playing for the Lumberjacks, and he was talking about how his brother went up and played in the CFL, and he was receiver. And I was like, well, you know, the field's so much bigger, you know, the hash marks are different and all that. And I said, and like the end zones are massive compared to the NFL. And he was like, yeah, you know what, man? He's like, my brother said he can run a post pattern from the 1 yard line. And I'm like, yeah, you can. Like it's absolutely different. So, so we're going to catch up with you again in hour two and then again in hour three. But first day for you, the one thing I wanted to ask about support. Was there a lot of Rider Nation there bright and early supporting?
Oh, absolutely. The fans come out from all over. And it's not just Saskatoon, right? It's mm-hmm. the northern part of the province. I saw someone from Langham, and then there was someone over from the Battle Fords and up in Melford area. So a pretty good turnout for day number one, especially when you go ahead and factor in that I don't think a lot of people expected the veterans like Trevor Harris to be on the field as much as they were today. So I think that caught people off guard. So there's going to be a good turnout for the rest of camp for sure.
Right on, Dave. All right, go grab a coffee, because you've been up since like 6 a.m. Have a little rest and appreciate the look at camp. The first time I'll have you back here in momentarily. That is Dave Thomas up in Saskatoon, the new voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And all of our rider training camp reports over the next week are brought to you by Souls Harbor Rescue Mission in Regina. Time for a break. You are listening to the home of Rough Rider Training Camp, the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Back to the all-new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM.
Sports Cage listeners, welcome back. Yeah, no one covers training camp like the Sports Cage. Dave Thomas, we're going to have him back here in a bit. Derek Bidwell with me right now. And Bidzy, yeah, first day up at camp in Regina. You've covered a lot of these camps mm-hmm. up there. Griffith Stadium. Griffith is a new stadium than back in the day when you and I used to have to slug the camera around with a global. Rain stayed away. They probably couldn't have asked better weather-wise for, like Dave said, for day one.
Well, yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter, obviously, now that they have turf, but if it was back in the olden days when it was grass, of course, then, yeah, you would have loved to have the little bit of rain and then the sun, and would have made the grass even greener, the field a little softer, but with it being turf, that didn't really matter. However, the temperature today, as you mentioned, Barney, though, perfect. I mean, you're not sweating, you're not just, you know, the Norm Petersons aren't just going hard on you before you even start practicing. It's a nice little way to ease into it, I would think, especially for these guys, these rookies that are just getting started. But there are vets there. They're just kind of in the background right now. They're not part of the official practices, but they're there, you know, reporting in and checking in slowly as we get going. But this is perfect weather to kind of ease our way into it for sure before we get into the blazing hot normally sun that'll be coming down in Griffith Stadium.
I think Dave's going to want to talk about that a little bit more. You talked about the Norm Petersons. I always called it the sweaty upper lip. You used to go out. We used to call Harry, and I used to call it the Brodsky. It's actually an inside joke there. But okay, so we got a lot to get to. We have Weston Dressler, CFL Hall of Famer, coming up on the program here momentarily. Now, I want to send this out to the Sports Cage listeners, Capital Ford Lincoln text line 306-936-6262. I love opening it up to the listeners. Fire in your question. We'll pick a couple here on the Capital Ford Lincoln text line, and we'll ask Weston. So Rider Nation, Sports Cage listeners, 306-936-6262. If you have a question for Rider great and now Hall of Famer Weston Dressler. We're going a lot of hockey in hour two of this program. You were at the game last night. The question obviously heartbreak if you're a Saskatoon Blades fan. I'm wearing my Moose Jaw Warriors shirt today.
I see that proudly.
When we talk to Mark O'Leary in hour two, head coach of the Warriors, I'm going to explain a chirp I got from one of the Moose Jaw brass earlier today. How was the traffic getting out of there last night? I was worried. I was wondering about you guys because Dave Thomas went super early, so he was sending me updates at like 5:15, and I'm like, wow, Dave's really in the pocket early. After, was it an absolute gonger getting out of there?
Oh, it was getting in there was a debacle, but I pulled a kind of a
West Side
hometown
move.
Greasy West Side move. I went over to Brant across the street and then kind of did a UE there and then crossed over the highway, and people were looking at me. That guy was behind me before. He went over there, and then people were like, well, I'm going to do that too. So there was a little bit of that going, a little bit of a gong show debacle trying to get in there, but out of it. I just stayed a little longer and just let everybody clear out. I just kind of sat there, you know, picked up my bottom lip, and then eventually I joined everybody else and got out of there. But you know what? If you got room for me, I see you proudly wearing the Moose Jaw Warriors t-shirt. Looks good on you. I'll gladly jump on the Warriors bandwagon now because, you know, I just want a team from Saskatchewan to win. Yeah. I just want a team from Saskatchewan to be there at the Mem Cup and win the national title. So if you got room, I'm on the wagon. I'm a Warriors guy now.
I like it. NHL tonight, there are two games. Boston Bruins looking to go up two on the Florida Panthers as they're in Sunrise, Florida. And then the Edmonton Oilers and Vancouver Canucks start their little boogie down production. I am so curious to talk to Eric Francis about this one. I'm curious to watch this one. The Canucks are going into this like Glass Joe and punch out. An easy win. Everybody's
no expectations.
Everybody's writing the Canucks off.
Perfect spot for them.
Yeah, isn't it?
It is. It really is. And if I'm the Oilers and Oilers fans, it worries me because it is just such an ideal spot between their ears, right? Between their ears. We know how big the game is mentally. And for the Canucks, this is perfect for them. The best chance for an upset.
Can't wait to talk to Eric Francis about that. So those are the two NHL games on this evening. All right. Again, Capital Ford Lincoln text line 936-6262. When we come back, we're hoping to have the man himself, Weston Dressler, on. You're listening to the home of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, 620 CKRM.
Don't miss a minute of the all-new Sports Cage. Podcasts are posted at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
Where are they now? You need new floors? Get the stars of flooring. Floor Coverings International, locally owned mobile flooring showrooms. Thousands of choices. FCLfloors.com. Where are they now? Well, let's find out. Where the new Canadian Football Hall of Famer, Weston Dressler, is. Weston, on the line. Tell the Rider Nation, where are you right now and what are you doing?
Like, specifically right now, I am on the road. I just pulled over, so you guys won't get any background static, but I'm somewhere just outside of Bismarck, North Dakota. I got a few miles to go yet to get home. That's where my hometown is and where I'm living nowadays.
What are you doing, you know, as a career, Weston?
I'm working with Stryker Orthopedics. It's a medical device company, and I'm selling new hips and knees to surgeons and trying to change people's lives and getting them moving again.
Oh, that's big time business up in Saskatchewan. Mm-hmm. I put up a pop-up store. It'd be huge of some sort. So let's go back. Let's go back to, I want to say, you know, you're an 85 birth date. So let's go to the year 2000. You know, did you know much about what was going on north up in Canada and in Saskatchewan in the CFL?
No, not really at all. I knew there was football up there, but that was about the extent of my knowledge.
Okay, and then talk about your first thoughts when you got up here and everything started. Just your initial thoughts of how this was going to... Obviously, you could not see how this was going to unfold for you, and you're going to become a future Canadian Football League Hall of Famer, but just your initial thoughts once you got up here. Were you thinking, yeah, I could see myself fitting in here, or are you thinking, I don't know how this is going to work out? Just your initial thoughts when you... join the Riders.
Probably a little bit of everything. You know, I really didn't know what I was getting into a whole lot. I'd say my initial thoughts through that first few days of rookie camp and training camp were just trying to get used to the motion and the waggles as a receiver. And I, you know, honestly, I remember thinking and saying to my brothers and some of my friends back home, like, you know, it doesn't seem very fair that I get kind of a head start on the DBs. So if I can't get open with that, I probably don't belong up here.
That says a lot about you, though, Weston. Though you're already thinking, such a nice guy. You're going, I think I'm taking advantage of the DBs here. I don't think this is fair. I should slow down or something. It just goes with your character anyway.
What was your first thought on the size of the field in the end zones?
I mean, obviously it looked and felt much bigger than what I was used to playing on, but I fell in love with it, being a smaller guy, having a little extra room out there, a little more space to run around and get open, was nothing that I was ever going to complain about.
Rider rookie camp started today up in Saskatoon. I had a chance to talk to Rob Vanstone earlier this week about you. And he remembers, he was your guy when he talks about rookie camp, and a guy that came in, kind of flew under the radar, ended up making rookie camp, main camp, and then making the team. But he remembers too, you were the punt return guy.
Yeah. I did a lot of that in high school and in college and growing up. I loved that part of the game. And again, there was another rule in the punt returns that I felt was a little unfair or more to my advantage. With that 5-yard halo and having that little extra space to catch the ball, it seemed like it was one less thing to worry about when you're catching those booming punts. Sometimes it can get a little nerve-wracking when guys are coming down at you full steam ahead. So I always enjoyed that part of the game, and obviously for myself as another opportunity to get the ball in your hands, it's always something I enjoyed, having the ball.
Weston, we're about the same height, you and I. You obviously are a little more athletic, capable, let's just say, than I am, and gifted than I am. But I just know when through playing sports, whether it was hockey or whether it was football, because I'm a little more on the shorter side of things, that I had to kind of keep my heads up. I had to be a little more cerebral, maybe, than the guys who were blessed with a little more size and were bigger. Did you find that as well too, that you had to, I mean, maybe keep your head on a little bit more of a swivel just to last as long in the game as you did, and even starting that at a younger age?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, always playing, I always felt like being a smaller guy on the field, that it was kind of a target. Like, obviously, defensive guys and anybody who plays football loves making the big hit and seeing the big hit. And when guys connected with me, it usually looked pretty vicious. So I felt like a lot of times guys were kind of going for that kill shot more so than just making the tackle, and that created some opportunities for me to make guys miss a little bit more often. So trying to use that to my advantage as much as I could. And part of playing the game of football and getting older was understanding when those chances were up and you needed just to kind of get down and protect yourself, or at least get into a position where you can protect yourself, which I always kind of felt like I had a natural ability to do when I had the ball in my hands, for sure.
When you started tearing it up, it was around the same time that the Patriots were doing crazy things and Wes Welker was making headway in the NFL. Did you have anyone that you looked up to or that you tailored your game after, Weston?
Yeah, I mean, I watched a lot of guys, and I'd say growing up, I always enjoyed playing running back, played running back in high school, played a little running back receiver, kind of hybrid role throughout my college days. So Barry Sanders was always a guy that I admired watching play, and just a guy that some of his two, 3 yard runs were so impressive that he was just fun to watch at all times. So he was definitely a guy that I loved watching growing up, and then obviously some receivers as I got older. I remember Steve Smith with the Panthers, not only big guy himself, but always seemed to make plays downfield, which I like doing. Randy Moss isn't a great comparison for me, but I was a Vikings fan growing up, and watching him play with the Vikings and then later on with the Patriots, the things he was doing, just loved the way kind of those two guys played the game and made big plays.
Weston, do you think that the league, the Canadian Football League and the National Football League, do you think that the two big leagues are looking differently at the receiver position than maybe they did a few years ago? And when I say that, I mean maybe back into the, 10, 15 years ago. They felt there was a certain prototype that they needed height-wise. I'm not saying that being 6'4 and being like Calvin Johnson or something like that, Megatron, is a bad build to have. Obviously, it's good. But I think before they kind of automatically counted out certain guys that weren't of a certain stature in height wise, and now you still see guys that are excelling so much in the NFL and the CFL, and obviously for you, or for me, you come to mind, but in the NFL right now, Tyreek Hill, of course, is a huge one that comes to mind. I mean, he's gifted with blazing speed, but as Shink said, there's been some other guys that have also blazed a trail, too. You started off, the Patriots started off with Wes Welker and maybe Amendola, but then obviously Julian Edelman was another one that was there for a long time. So do you think now maybe that the league is, I guess, open to receivers looking different, if they can wrap their heads around guys that may just have a great, that might just be incredibly talented or incredibly fast, and they can wrap their heads around them not looking the same as maybe what the prototype is?
Yeah, I think part of that, too, is just kind of the game evolving. You go back 20, 25 years ago, and it was a lot more smash mouth, and you didn't see as much passing going on as you do today, so there's definitely more sets nowadays with 3-4 receivers out on the field down in the NFL, and that's really just an opportunity for more receivers to be on the field. So maybe your third guy in the slot that comes in those 3-receiver packages is getting more opportunities now than that type of receiver would be getting, 15, 20 years ago. And I think offenses have evolved a little bit to utilize those slot guys a little bit more and underneath routes and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit of everything. And then once some of those smaller guys start to have success and coaches see that, GMs see that, it paves the way for others.
New CFL Hall of Famer Weston Dressler joining us on the Western Pizza Guest Hotline. Weston, do you field a lot of questions about the league from, high school kids and college kids down there?
I wouldn't say a lot, but occasionally, yeah. I think there's definitely been, since I started up there, a lot more interest in the CFL, at least around my hometown and kind of my group of friends and family and my circle, I guess. But there's definitely a lot more awareness, I think, now than 20 years ago. before I ever even knew what the CFL was all about, for sure.
Younger brother Ryan played wide receiver as well. Was there ever a chance that you were going to get him a look up here?
No, I don't. he worked hard and did an awesome job, and I think we both got the most out of our abilities that we could get.
Who is the one, or maybe a couple guys that you are still very tight with from your Rider days?
Obviously, my fellow receivers, Bag and Getz. Those are kind of my two guys throughout my whole career, at least with Saskatchewan, right, that I was with. Mike McCall is another one that I get anytime I get back to Regina, is trying to get a hold of those guys when I can. Obviously, that gets a little tough with the family and visiting. My wife's from there and visiting her family and all that stuff, but trying to connect with those guys when possible.
I know Getz gets you out in the golf course a lot when you're up here. How's the golf game?
A couple of years ago, it was doing all right. I'd say probably the last year and a half now, it's kind of taken a downturn. I got four kids now, so less and less time to get out on the course.
Yeah, that's never good for the handicap. Hey, I know you pulled over on the side of the road to do this today, and congratulations on the Hall of Fame, and Rider Nation, obviously, very proud of you, and we appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on.
CFL Hall of Famer Weston Dressler, Bidzy, like deserving. You start watching old clips of him, and you start reading about, because you kind of forget, right? Like recency bias, like everyone, what's going on now, and it's like, yeah, this guy was special. And then I found it really interesting where he's like, I didn't know much about the league.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and just talking to him and listening to him, he comes across just like you would, just like you remember him, right? He comes across soft-spoken, very humble, hasn't changed at all. Just a great guy. I bet you he just walks around in his everyday life like nobody would know. I bet you that some of the people that he does sales with, it probably takes him two or three meetings maybe. If they're unfamiliar with the Canadian Football League, he probably doesn't bring it up. They're probably like, you know what, Weston, yeah, the guy that you do work with, yeah, do you know that he was an amazing football player? Do you know that in Canada he's in their Hall of Fame? Like, people that don't follow the Canadian Football League wouldn't know it by talking to Weston Dressler, because he just is like we remember him, very humble, very quiet.
And he's a sales guy. Like, he's just probably the most honest sales guy. It's like, no, you know what? I want to sell you those prosthetics.
But it's not for you.
Yeah, these are a little bit cheaper. These are better product right here. Yeah. So, no, that was a really cool catch-up with Weston Dressler on the Western Pizza Guest Hotline. It is the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the home of Riders Training Camp, the Sports Cage, 620 CKRM.
The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll-free 1-866-767-0620. 620 CKRM.
Saskatchewan, if you missed that interview with new CFL Hall of Famer Weston Dressler, you can always download it on the podcast form. Colson will have that a little bit later on. Nice conversation, though, eh? Just down in Bismarck doing his thing. The interesting thing, Bidzy? A story that I heard a while ago back was after, he cleared NFL waivers, because he went, I think it was in 2014, and gave it a shot with the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Then he came back, and then obviously everyone was courting him. The Ottawa Redblacks had an offer, I want to say it was in the neighborhood of about $50,000 a year more, and he signed with the Riders.
Hmm.
Does that, not surprising, like after
no.
hearing about him, talking to him?
Yeah, I mean, he's got the type of, personality that would lead you to believe that a move like that would be very believable from Weston Dressler. He's just a guy that, I don't know, he just seemed like he belonged here with us. He seemed like he was one of us. He's down there in Bismarck. He's just south of Saskatchewan, probably basically the same type of landscape as we're in, pretty close to the same type of weather. I don't know, he just seemed like he was a... basically just an extended southern Saskatchewan guy. I mean, this was the right fit for him, I think, for a number of reasons.
Arash Madani didn't talk about this yesterday. Maybe we'll get him to talk about it today, but he added on his Twitter feed and just talk about contracts and CFL contracts that allegedly Nathan Rourke was offered. Sorry, Nathan Rourke's wife was offered a house in Ottawa if he would come up and sign with the Red Blacks. Kind of a creative way to go about things. I got to think people have thought about that in the past, and there's got to be some kibosh put on that.
Yeah, well, obviously, whenever rules are made, people are always trying to figure a way to get around them, whatever it is in life, right?
Circumvent.
Circumvent, yeah, it's way of saying...
I'm circumvent rule guy, for sure.
Yeah, so it's another way of kind of being a little greasy to kind of get around what they're asking you to do. But, hey, you know what? The rules are there, and you can try to figure them out the best way for your scenario as well, too. I got a good one for you really quick about rules, though. Do we have time?
Oh, yeah, let's talk.
Okay, here we go. Okay, so... this was brought to me by somebody in U Sports. Well, and it was with the, I think it was with the UFC Dinos. I think the conversation was, I'm not going to say the coach was. But anyway, it was about the rules and how to get people recruited to your school. So there's only so much you can do in U Sports to get somebody to come to your school. Obviously, there's a strict set of guidelines with that, but you're always trying to make your school and your offer look a little better than somebody else's. And so one thing that this coach was talking about that he thought was a little greasier, a little offside, and it was a little whatever, was that the Laval Rouge Or, he felt that they had an unfair advantage because they had so much booster money that when they wanted to go after a player, they could only do so much, but there's one way that they could make it a little more enticing to come to Laval than any other school in the country, and that is if they took all their money that they got from their boosters and they held training camp wherever they wanted to. So Laval, to make it a little more interesting, they would offer these guys essentially a free trip to Florida
every year.
Because they would have their training camp in Florida, because they could take their money, all their big booster money, and have their training camp in Florida, which made it a little more enticing. So yeah, people are always finding a way around the rules or making them work.
Yeah, I remember that they would have their camp in Florida, and I thought that was always just them with a flex. It's like, oh, look at us chartering a flight to Florida from Quebec City. Probably smoking on that plane because it's chartered, and they just love their darts in Quebec. Yeah, no, I think the one, I had a chance to go to in ASU in 1996. My billet's son lived with Jake Plummer in the
city. The Snake.
Yeah, so Jake was the football player. I think there was an offensive lineman that lived there. And then the two rando dudes, like Kip and then two other dudes. It was a big bungalow, nice pool in the backyard. And like, not a fancy house, because it was in Tempe, just off campus. But I remember going, there is no way that, you know, this isn't, there isn't some shady deal, all this. And my billet goes, yeah, it's a booster's house, and they, everything's kind of taken care of, and there's only the two football guys and then the three randoms to make it look good. And yeah, I went to the backyard, and like the barbecue set up in 96, you know, everyone goes nowadays, like the backyard barbecue built into the, you know,
outdoor kitchen.
Yeah, like it's just swanky, right? Like they had that, they were rolling that thing in 96. And I was like, wow. And then, you know, there's probably the kids on the other team in the dorms are cooking a pork missile on a hibachi.
A pork missile, yeah. A pork missile on something, some type of hot plate, I don't know, whatever. But definitely not. Definitely didn't have a lot of access to outdoor kitchens when you're in college. Yeah, it's a lot of... Well, you know what it's like. It's Kraft Dinner, Ichiban, and pork missiles is all you got. Yeah,
not
like that.
Ichiban. Like, that thing got so many people through college, your first few radio people, your first few years in radio, first decade.
Student loans, yeah. Your sodium intake was just maxed right out. But yeah, it got you through. You'd get a box too, right?
Yeah.
You get a box, you wouldn't just get a couple.
And I was like, I was so poor that I had to buy the no-name Ichiban. Couldn't even get like the Sapporo.
Same thing with the mac and cheese, though. I had the no-name mac and cheese, and when things started to come together, then I went to the Kraft. But I mean, I had to start off with the no-name
Swift Current I remember the wholesale club, the no name Lucky Charms. And did I that was like the big bag? Like
I never heard. Oh yeah,
yeah. It would like they would other people buying it or like taking it to like camps for kids, and I'm just buying it by myself eating it. Back to the case. So I know we're getting sidetracked, and that's what we do, and it's fun because it's a sports show. Show keyword. The thing about Dressler that I remember the most was when he came back with Winnipeg and kind of torched the Riders. Like it was the one, let's see here, the one Labor Day game, he had 3 receptions, 28 yards in that. Yeah, it was a win. But it was just weird, him coming back and doing that to us.
Well, you know what it's like. There's certain guys in hockey, football, baseball, whatever it is, basketball, that they just excel. They just seem to belong with that team. And when they're with somebody else, it just doesn't work. Trevor Linden in Vancouver was a guy that it seemed to always be that way. That, you know, he just had to be in a Canucks uniform. And they only really saw their best days when they were with that team. I think Weston Dressler's a Riders guy. And everybody thinks of him as a Riders guy. And we're not going to let... he's our guy. We're not going to let anybody, even if he spent a little time with the Bombers, he's our guy. But yes, certain guys just seem to excel with other teams. And you just, when you think of them, that's how you think of them and you want him there. Weston's that guy for the green and white.
Randy, by the way, was the guy that had the question about his brother, if there was ever a chance for his brother to come up on the Capital Ford Lincoln.
Good
text
one,
line 306-936-6262. If anyone out there, if you have questions for Eric Francis, who's coming up NHL-wise, fire away too. Again, 306-936-6262, because we're going to be covering a lot when it comes to the NHL playoffs here momentarily. Back to the jersey thing, you know who the weirdest one for me, like Tom Brady into the Tampa Bay thing. Yeah, that was a little strange, but he needed to get out of town. Like Brady needed to get out of New England. I don't care what anyone says. Was Wayne Gretzky in a St. Louis, every time I see Wayne Gretzky in a St. Louis Blues jersey, I'm like, that is just weird.
That one didn't resonate with me at all. I liked him in a Kings jersey. Of course, he did so much in L.A. For the game, and obviously accomplished a lot too. And then for him to have his final dance with the New York Rangers in that historic arena and that franchise, but St. Louis, it just didn't follow along with the greatest of all time. It just, that little stop over there didn't work.
But they were good, like. Yep. And they had something going on there. You look through that roster and like a young Chris Pronger and Hull, obviously, and then an older Grant Fuhr, but he was kicking until I think it was it Kiprios that took him out? And then I forget
that collision. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know who they had to go to, like,
talk about the stories though.
Vincent Riando or John Casey was the backup. And it's John like, Casey. That was the end of the line for Wayne and the St. Louis Blues. Yeah. Weird one. Again, if anyone else has a weird athlete in a jersey that we can't think of, I'm sure if no one was around when Babe Ruth went from the Red Sox to the Yankees, that was weird.
No. If it would have been, if he would have went somewhere after the Yankees, of course, that one would have been an odd one for sure. But and I was just going to say quickly, those names you rattled off for the St. Louis Blues, imagine their road trips. Like, Gretter is known for rocking and rolling and tipping back some coldies. And then so are all those other guys. Brett Hull, like, holy Toledo's of Johnson's, that guy, he's leading the charge for sure. He's leading the parade. So those guys would have had some real, there would have been some stories for sure in those days. You know, but this before cell cameras and stuff, right? So, you know, I bet you they would have some great stories from that time.
Trying to control Brett Hull like Mike Keenan, you know, trying to take, hey, curfew tonight. Everybody in, go pound
you're
sand.
You're just antagonizing him. He was going to be in normal time, right? But now he's not.
So here's one we got from the text line. Jurison as an Argo. Oh, that's a good one. Okay, text line's always open. 306. That was from KD, by the way. 306-936-6262. It is the Sports Cage on the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 620 CKRM.
65 It's time to talk sports. The all-new Sports Cage is on the air for the millions of telephone users like yourselves. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. And we're always online at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to the Sports Cage, Saskatchewan. That's the start of Gino Vannelli, Black Cars Bidzy, as we welcome...
Oh, you don't have to tell me.
Our man.
I don't think you have to tell Francis
right here.
Either.
Right here, remember this part? One of the most underrated drummers ever, whoever he was. Eric Francis is joining us, and we're talking NHL playoffs. Well, 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 Eric. Let's answer this right off the hop. The Vancouver Canucks need to do what to make this a series?
They need to pretend they're the Vegas Golden Knights from last year. They have the blue line core that's kind of similar, big, huge monster men, and who make it very tough to get in and get chances against the goalie, whoever that will be throughout this series. And obviously that's one of the biggest question marks of the whole series. So yeah, they've just got to play big, play defense first. And you know, for those people who kind of think, well, it's one thing to beat Nashville, but it's quite another to beat the Oilers. Yeah, I agree on the surface, but Nashville was actually better than the Oilers in the second half of the season. Everyone thinks the Oilers were the hottest team in the NHL, you know, from the time they made their coaching change. No. The best team in the NHL from Christmas on were the Nashville Predators. Scored more goals than the Oilers, were better defensively than the Oilers, and they beat Nashville. Let's see what they can do against the Oilers.
Eric, don't you think that the way things have worked out is a best-case scenario for the Canucks in this one, though? Meaning that we know how big a part of the game the mental side of it. People are counting out the Canucks. They think the Oilers are going to be the next team that's going to win, the next Canadian team to win a Stanley Cup. They're already moving past the Canucks. So do you think this is a good spot for the Canucks, that they're not being expected to do much in this series, that they're the underdogs? They're sitting in a real good spot right now going into this?
Yeah, it's probably a pretty good spot for them. And, you know, they did finish ahead of the Oilers this year, and I know that, you know, in the second half, it was a much different story, but they should feel confident against the Oilers. Didn't they? They won all four games against the Oilers this year, albeit all four games were played early in the season when the Oilers were struggling for the most part. But, you know, they have every reason to feel very good about their game. The fact that they beat, you know, the hottest team in the NHL coming into the playoffs with their third string goalie, and they didn't have, you know, the goalie didn't have to stand on his head either. Like, you know, he just had to be, you know, pretty good. And here they are in the second round. So, no, I think if you're a Canuck or a Canuck fan, you're feeling pretty good about yourself. But I also know that everybody in Northern Alberta, I can't even see the city's name sometimes, but all those people up there, they're excited and very optimistic too. So let's watch. As a nation, we're all going to – I don't know. Well, let me ask you guys this. Is the nation going to watch – or are we just making too much? Is it only Western Canada that's going to watch?
I don't know. If you're a hockey fan, you're watching this.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're making a bigger deal out of it in Western Canada. I think your comment there on Vancouver fans being, I don't know if you said confident, semantics. I think the Vancouver fans that I've talked to, two of them, they aren't sure about this matchup. So the Canucks need, and this is going to be hard, but I can't remember. I think they gave up like 22 power plays or something like that to Nashville. They're going to have a tough time staying out of the box. My theory has always been, since I played hockey, Bidzy, this will make sense knowing where I grew up, is you're going to lose a game in this series. Make it game one. And every knee to the quad or to the hamstring, to the quad that you can get a Charlie horse, anytime you can run a guy through the boards, you take it in game one, because you're losing a game anyways. And if Vancouver doesn't lay the smackdown on Edmonton, this is going to be a long series. But, you know, they got to stay out of the box.
I agree. It's a fine line there, right? Right. They're going to have to. They have to be the more physical team. Listen, everybody knows the Oilers don't have that much size, and they're not. They don't love the physicality. But if you can wear them down, that plays into the hands of the Vancouver Canucks. But again, everybody also knows that there's no more dangerous power play on the planet for the last, what, 2-3 years, if you averaged it out, than the one that's anchored by Connor McDavid and Evan Bouchard. Like, this guy's an absolute stud while running a power play, too. So they've got a lot of personnel there, including Draisaitl, that'll kill you on the power play. Don't play with fire in that regard, for sure.
Can Pettersson have a little bit of a coming-out party in this series?
Well, I would call it a comeback. I mean, you know, he's been kind of non-existent so far in the playoffs. He's taken a ton of heat for it. I think his coming-out party was the one that just earned him that massive contract, you know, with some of the great numbers he's put together over the last couple of years. But you talk about a guy who's pulled like a Mitch Marner in the playoffs, and it's only one round. It's not really fair. And he's clearly dealing with something. But, you know, he hasn't been himself. So, yeah, he has a chance to kind of redeem himself after a real questionable first round. And, look, they beat, like I said, a very good Nashville team. Basically, I don't want to say without Pettersson, but he didn't really shine. They let a bunch of the other guys shine. This is now a good chance for Elias Pettersson to shine as well, for sure. Like, he's capable of so much more than he showed in that first round.
I don't think, Bidzy, I don't think your mic's on here, but we're going to, I understand you got a question, just fix it. Bidzy's up in Saskatoon. If there's one guy in this series, Eric, that you could, besides McDavid, Draisaitl, for the Oilers, if there, and Hyman, let's say, if there was one of those, you know, other guys that could go either way, like a Kane, a Perry, either as a detriment to the team or something good, who would you think that is?
Oh, yeah, that's a loaded question. I mean, that's Evander Kane, right? He can be a detriment to your team, especially if things start getting really physical or they start losing by a bunch. You can almost guarantee he's good for at least one ejection during a blowout. And the guy could be a massive liability for your team, but he can also be a phenomenal goal scorer and one of the more physical players that they have on their roster and one of the more physical players in the league. So, like, you know, it's the perfect question to answer with Evander Kane. Like, listen, I could go to Ryan Nugent Hopkins. He's always the same steady, you know, 80-point guy that he's been forever, 80 to 90-point guy. We know what we're going to get out of him. We know what we're going to get out of Draisaitl, McDavid, Bouchard, Nurse to an extent, but Kane. I suspect that throughout the series, we're going to see good Kane and bad Kane. Nights where he hurts the team and nights where he helps the team. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of you know, the way he conducts himself in general, on and off the ice. But I do appreciate the way he plays if he's on your team. And he's going to be an interesting guy to watch through this whole series.
Yeah, a team usually that goes all the way needs guys like that. Of course, as you know, Eric, that fills all different types of roles. A team has to have all those different guys in the grand makeup of it or the grand scheme of things. Okay, I'm back because Eric, you know me well. I'm in Saskatoon here. We're running some new things, and there's a lot of buttons, and I don't know whether it's Tuesday or Moose Jaw here right now. So I'm so bear with me, but I'm back now. Anyway, Sports Cage, of course, is launching a whole bunch of new stuff, so we're real excited about it all. When it all comes together, it's going to be awesome. Okay, so Wednesday here, May 8th, we have the first game, of course, is the Bruins and the Panthers. Let's talk about that series. Obviously, a lopsided one in game one for the Bruins. That surprised you?
Yeah, it did, especially after Tkachuk scored early in the game to put, you know, to put the Panthers up 1-0. I mean, we're all wondering how a team is going to rebound from a tough series, a seven-game series, two nights earlier. And we watched it last night, and I'm sure we'll get into the Colorado-Dallas series in a second here, but, you know, everybody's curious to see, do you carry momentum from a seven-game series, or are you so beaten up and tired and the other team's rested that it's to their advantage? It can go either way, and we saw that in these two games that we're talking about. So, you know, Boston, really incredible effort. Look, I feel like the Boston Bruins are playing with house money in a lot of ways. Look, when they lost Bergeron and Krejci, I think a lot of people thought, okay, This team is nowhere near the team that it used to be, and the team that they used to be couldn't seem to get it done over the last 2, 3, 4 years anyway. So, you know, they're going to slowly slide out of their window and eventually start a retool, rebuild, whatever you want to call it, but not at all. Like, this team is every bit as good. Obviously, they'd be better if they had Bergeron, but, the leadership of Brad Marchand continues to be a phenomenal story for me. It's an incredible turnaround from where he was 4 or 5 years ago when, you know, as I said last Monday, licking guys' faces. and now you've got a team that, you know, they all look, I was going to say up to him. They look down to him, but up at him sort of thing. He's such a little guy. He's just such an amazing story. And, but do I think the Bruins can win that series? No, I still don't. I still think Florida is, you know, the prohibitive favorite to get to get through this round. We'll see what game two brings. That's a big steal, though, in Florida.
You know who the Bruins, and again, it's like you said, it's only one game here. Let's just cool our jets or chikai. But you know who the Bruins remind me of is last year's Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
Flying under the radar, right? And then it's like, oh, no, well, they're still going to lose the series. Yeah, they won a game. Mm-hmm. They got that kind of agitator, really good hockey player.
Scrappy leader, right?
Yeah, they kind of remind me of last year's Florida Panthers, who I didn't believe in until it was like game 2 of the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, and to flip that kind of analogy, Florida's kind of what Boston was last year. Florida was a juggernaut all year. Comes in, you know, the prohibitive favorite, you know, one of the favorites in the East, and now they're wearing that crown as the team to beat, and Boston is being the hunter. So, yeah, I like that analogy, and it just goes to show, though, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. Just what matters is showing up at the right time, getting great goaltending, and scoring timely goals, and Boston sure did that in game 1.
I'm deep. We've talked about this a lot on the Dallas Stars this year. My kids in their school hockey pool are big on the Dallas Stars. So last night, my daughter, we're watching the Moose Jaw Saskatoon game. And then on the other screen, we have the Dallas Colorado game. They're up 3-0. Everyone's happy. Everything's good. And then I wake up this morning and tell her that Colorado came back and won. And she's like, well, what do you mean? And I said, Gabby, that is like you guys blowing a 7-0 lead in your 2013 spring hockey. I can't believe that. And I get Colorado's powerful. Don't get me wrong, but a 3-0 lead like that to blow it. Is that coaching, Eric?
No, I mean, you know, I'm covering that series for Sportsnet right now, so I'm writing columns after every game. So last night I'm watching that. I'm listening to all the post-game interviews and writing about it. Dallas, you know, figures that they just, that seven-game series started to, you know, their legs, it started to catch up with them midway through the game. I would flip it the other way and say, as Jared Bednar said, Colorado just took a period to get their legs. And you know, after a week off, and then started to realize, oh my God, we're in the middle of a fight here, and we better start punching back. And it was clinical the way that they did come back in that game with a couple of power play goals early in that second period, an early strike in the third by McKinnon, and it's anybody's game. And listen, you know, the column I wrote last night, like, yeah, Miles Woods, the overtime hero, I'm sure everybody had him in the pool. but you know, Georgiev, or Georgiev, or everyone's got a different pronunciation of it, but you know, everybody looks at Colorado as that's their weak link, right? Like, just like everybody looked at Colorado 2 years ago and said, is Darcy Kemper good enough to really help this team win a Stanley Cup? Kemper was pretty good and then moved on and cashed in and got the money and went to Washington. Now they've invested, put all their eggs in the Georgiev basket. And he's lit up 3-0 in the first. Remember the first game of the playoffs? He let in 7. And everybody's like, oh, my God, here it is. We knew this was going to be the problem. The rest of that series against Winnipeg, he was unbelievable. The rest of the game last night, he was unbelievable. He didn't have a huge number of shots. He only had 19 saves. But the first 5 in overtime were all on him, and 3 of them were ridiculously dangerous. And he made very calm saves on all of them. Next thing you know, Miles Woods the hero. So keep an eye on Gorgiev. That's the weak link on that team. And right now, I don't think it's a weak link at all. We just think it is until he proves otherwise.
Going to talk to you again about goaltending or stay on the topic of goaltending, Eric. You and I were in Calgary covering, of course, the Flames run all the way to the Stanley Cup final way back when against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And we knew the man that got him there, of course, was Mika Kiprusoff. Would you say even more so now that the focus, or maybe people are realizing now that once you get into the postseason, and not like they didn't know before, but I think it's just maybe more common now that as these rounds go forward, these goalies start to build momentum. There's a big mental aspect there. They start to get the confidence in between their ears, and the ones that can weather the storm through these rounds, they're just going to it's almost like their superpowers grow. They're almost going to grow in strength and power, and it resonates through their team as they move through. And maybe Gorgiev, can be one of those guys that are at the end that might be, he might be the difference maker when everybody thought after that 7-6 loss in Winnipeg, he was going to be their Achilles heel.
Yeah. It's interesting to watch. And, you know, the guy who's, you know, having a phenomenal playoff already is Shesterkin, of course. And, you know, 6-0, and they're chanting his name all night last night. And, you know, he's a former Vezina Trophy winner. We know he's a proven stud. And he's the kind of guy I don't think anybody questions, has the ability to help carry the Rangers to a cup win if the rest of the team can play that well around him. But, you know, it's interesting to watch guys, you know, I think up until that last game, I think Bobrovsky was having an incredible playoff, just like he did last year. Jeremy Swayman is one of the hottest goalies in the playoffs so far this year. Like, it's interesting to try and pinpoint the guys, but, you know, going back to Dallas, and, you know, a lot of people pick Dallas to win the Cup, you know, because they know that Ottinger has it in him. They saw that series against Calgary a couple of years ago where he was putting on an absolute clinic, and everybody thinks this is one of the best young goalies in the league, and as soon as he, you know, puts it all together, he's going to have a great run. I still think that's very possible for a guy like Ottinger. He's been, you know, kind of building throughout the playoffs. Last night was a bit of a setback, but yeah, the goalie is the key. I will forever say he's the key to playoff success.
You talk about the Dallas Stars and putting all your eggs in that basket, possibly. Well, Barney did for us on our draft with the Keniston Super Draft.
Yeah.
We've talked about that, yes. And so far, he's looking like I still think he's going to come through and he's going to look smart on that one. Maybe he didn't work out with the Nashville Predators, where a good chunk of our team was as well. But I think with the Stars, it looks good. Okay, Eric, I want to ask you this one quickly before we let you go. We're talking about guys in our minds. When we hear of that player, we think of them in a certain uniform. And when they went to another team, maybe it was just at the end of their career, or maybe it was in between their career just for a year and then they came back. We brought up Trevor Linden. You just think of a certain player in a certain jersey. When you think of him in another one, it really drives you bonkers. So to get you into what I'm thinking here, like, for example, at the end of his career, here's a couple basketball ones. Of course, Shaquille O'Neal, you think of him with the Orlando Magic at the start of his career. LA Lakers, of course, you don't think of him really with the Heat or the Celtics at the end of his career. MJ with the Washington Wizards at the end. No, of course, he's a Chicago Bull. Me, I'm a Saskatoon guy. Loved Wendell Clark growing up, so of course I think of Wendell Clark in a Leafs jersey. I don't think of him with the Islanders or the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Blackhawks?
Blackhawks, Quebec, yeah. Although Quebec, he started off, you could start to see that he was going to be something special. But is there somebody that, you know, you just think of him in a certain jersey, and when you think of him in another jersey, even though they did play for that team, it's sour, it just does not work for you?
You know, I that's an interesting question. I'll probably have a better answer for you after I think about it over the weekend when we reconvene on Monday. But one of the first guys that comes to mind is Artemi Panarin, who I think is one, like, I know maybe it's a terrible example because he never did anything when he was, you know, when he was playing with the
old Artemi.
You know, this, what's that?
I said, oh, the old Artemi reference.
No, I know nobody would pick that guy, but now that he's a Ranger and he's flourishing there,
yes.
You know, I still think he's underrated because I still think people don't, I still think he gets the credit he deserves. What is he, fifth this year in scoring, sixth in scoring? Had almost 50 goals, and no one's ever talking about him. So I think of him, I don't think of him always as a Ranger, but There's my answer. That's probably an oddball one. You know what another one is that came to mind when you were asking that? You didn't prep me on this one, so I'm shooting.
I did throw you. Yeah.
Okay, hold
yeah.
on. Let me jump in because Bidzy talked about his. My weird one was Wayne Gretzky in a St. Louis Blues jersey. Then TJ from Davidson had a really good one. Daryl Sittler in a ridiculous looking Red Wings jersey. That was terrible. And I totally forgot Sittler played with the Wings.
Well, didn't Sittler also play for Philadelphia, too? I think he might have even worn the Cooper roll during that little stint there. But, you know, another guy that's kind of interesting in that topic, in that vein, is Nichushkin. You know, now that he's playing in Colorado, and he's got, like, I think a goal every – he's got a point every single game in the playoffs. He's got 8 goals. His last season with the Dallas Stars, you took a chance on this guy. He had no goals in 57 games. Now he comes over to Colorado and he's one of their best players, and he's, you know, if they are going to do any damage, it's going to be on the back of Nichushkin. So that's another one, but that's not the sort of thing you're looking for right now. I'll have a much better answer on Monday.
You'll be sitting there and you're going to go, why did I say that?
How didn't I think of Martin Brodeur in a St. Louis Blues jersey? Yeah, no, okay, Monday. You got Monday to think about it. Have fun covering that series, and we'll talk to you again.
Yeah, I think it's going to be weird to see Mitch Marner in a Columbus Blue Jackets jersey. Anyway, that's just a little foreshadowing. Okay,
yeah,
talk to you boys.
There you go. Solid finish. Thanks, pal.
Mitch Marner in a Lloydminster Border Kings jersey playing for the Allen Cup. How about that? It is the all-new Sports Cage on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Touchdown! The all-new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back, Saskatchewan. Rider training camp opened up in Saskatoon today. Dave Thomas is going to be back joining us here momentarily. But last night in Saskatoon, Dave was at the game. Bidzy, you were at the game. Mm-hmm. Sask Place, it'll always be Sask Place to me, almost sold out. Blades, Moose Jaw Warriors. And why wouldn't it go to another overtime, the sixth in the series? Joining us on the Western Pizza guest hotline right now, head coach of those Moose Jaw Warriors, Mark O'Leary. Mark, did you get much sleep last night?
We had to sleep fast. It's a new day today, but it's easier to do that after a big win.
That atmosphere last night, and I've watched you guys play with, like I say, boots on the ground with my own eyeballs a few times now. I felt that, and I know you don't want to talk about the Saskatoon Blades, but I felt you guys weren't as nervous.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't think it was our best game, but I thought we had energy and enthusiasm, and we didn't play tentative, you know, which, you know, we've done that in the past in certain games, and I think that was a big part of the success.
Hey, Mark, Derek Bidwell here in Saskatoon. I was talking to my father, Ray, about this one because his first thing he wanted to talk to me about when I called this morning, I usually try to get a hold of the folks every day. His first thing he wanted to talk about was that game. To be there at SaskTel Center, I know Shinks likes to call it Sask Place. A lot of people still think of it that way. But to be there at almost 14,000 people and to persevere for you guys to get through this series, a series of 7 games with 6 going to overtime, and I know that's not great for the ticker, and I know that can give you a lot of anxiety, but to battle through and come on the positive side, to battle through and come on the winning side of that, it's just got to be, I would think that has to be such, I mean, besides being tuckered out mentally and physically, but it's just got to be such a boost, I would think, to make it through there and what would seem like, you know, such a series that could have went by a flip of a coin. You guys ended up, you know, persevering, coming out on top and moving on to the next round.
Yeah, I think you talked before playoffs start about, you know, managing emotions and riding the waves of, you know, the ups and downs within the game and within the series. But until you go through it, and certainly we went through it and then some with that series, you know, it's, you can prepare all you want, but you have to live it. But just real proud of how the players handled it, you know, even with the last game, having the lead late in the game and Saskatoon tying it up, the fortitude that it takes to bounce back and, you know, to punch back right away in overtime. I just think that, you know, the players showed they showed once again that, you know, they've worked towards us all season long, and those highs and lows don't seem to faze them.
Head coach of the Eastern Conference champion Moose Jaw Warriors, Mark O'Leary, joining us on the Western Pizza guest hotline. Finish this for me. Denton Matejczuk reminds me of who as a hockey player?
Oof. Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, you right away. I wanna you know, look at past players that we've had here, and you know, we had Morgan Riley, and he was similar in terms of how he skates and transports the puck, and you know, can make plays seemingly out of nothing. You know, but yeah, you add the competitiveness that he has, similar to that of a Braden Point. And you have what you see with Denton Matejczuk. Just the bigger the moment, he gets better. You know, and some guys, you know, play tentative. Other guys just get better, and that's what Denton does. He's a great combination of skill and compete, and that's why he's our captain.
Mark, I know as teams make their way through the playoffs and they win a round, win the next round, when their community gets into it more and more and more. And we were talking about Saskatoon and you know, them getting almost, there's a lot of Moose Jaw people that made the trip, I can tell you that, because it was loud in there. But almost 14,000 people showing up for that game. I know you guys are selling out the barn there. I know the Warriors are the hottest ticket going and have been for quite some time. If you have room on the bandwagon, I'll jump on, because I want a team from Saskatchewan to win now. So I, obviously, being here in Saskatoon, I was rooting for the blue and gold, rooting for the Blades. Now I'm rooting for the team that took them out, rooting for our Saskatchewan representative now in the WHL final. But are you feeling it, before we start talking about your next opponents, are you feeling it in the community as well, too? Like, it just seems to be growing, and it's almost like they're uniting even stronger around you as you move forward, because they want to be there to help you out as much as they can.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, the support, and to see how, you know, these players have brought the community together is unbelievable. You know, great example, you know, John Iatridis, he's a business owner here in Moose Jaw. He owns the Mad Greek, and you know, he's put together, you know, even just a send off when we were heading out to Saskatoon. You know, people were lining the streets, and you know, sending their best wishes to the players, and you know, it means the world to the players. They were kind of taken aback and surprised by it, and to just see the support from everybody. And again, coming into Moose Jaw last night after the game, it was 1 a.m, and it's a party outside the rink, and people just so happy and excited, and just want to show support. And again, it's you know, it starts by, you know, the community and somebody like John to bring everybody together like that. But it's this team, and it's so fun to see how much it means to the community, and that's what it's all about.
I saw it, man. There was a lot, like you said, a lot of Moose Jaw fans. I don't know how many buses made the trip up, but I'm sure five bus. I'm sure the Twisted Sister and Chamberlain got nailed on the way up. They couldn't even keep up. Okay, let's talk about Portland now, and a tough team, American team, and it's the 2-3-2. How do you prepare for Portland?
Well, you prepare quickly. I know it's a quick turnaround here, but you know, we got a chance to see them in Portland. You know, earlier in the season during our U.S. road trip, and I remember saying, you know, we talked as a staff after the game, and you know, first off, just talking about how good of a hockey game it was. Just two really skilled teams, fast, just good Western Hockey League hockey, and we talked about, you know, what it would be like having the opportunity to play them again at this time of year, and here we are. So, I mean, it's a team that I have a lot of respect for, obviously, with Mike Johnson and his coaching, and you know, what he's done in the past, and to see how they play, it's no surprise. But we're just really excited about the opportunity to go up against the West's best.
All right. I got a text message today from Jason Riplinger because he heard me talk about how I was leaning towards Saskatoon yesterday, so he had to chirp me, so I'm wearing my Moose Jaw gear today in the studio. Mark, thanks so much for taking some time today. Best of luck as you guys head to Portland, and I think now you guys are Team Sasky, right? Everyone's behind you guys.
There's always room on the bandwagon. I appreciate that. Thanks for having me.
Right on. Mark O'Leary, head coach of the Eastern Conference champion Moose Jaw Warriors. It is the all-new Sports Cage on the home of sports in Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. 620 CKRM.
Our Rough Rider Training Camp reports brought to you by Souls Harbor Rescue Mission in Regina, showing compassion and kindness to our neighbors in need. For more information or to donate, see shrmsk.ca today. He's back. The new voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Dave Thomas, with us. And, okay, Dave, what did you and then probably some of the fans have your eyeballs on today?
We're in Saskatchewan, Barney. It was the quarterbacks. That's yeah. All we looked at, man. And, of course, everybody wanted to see Trevor Harris come out, see how he would react to some on-field activity. He did well, and all the veterans were there. Shea Patterson was there, Antonio Pipkin, Mason Fine all threw the ball. Eli Hettlinger, who is a part of the internship program with the CFL and U Sports, he was there from the University of Alberta, as well as the newcomer that was kind of our one to watch today for Quality Tire with 9 locations across Saskatchewan. You can see them at qualitytire.ca. That one to watch is newcomer quarterback from the NCAA ranks, played with Wisconsin, played with Notre Dame. That's Jack Cohn. And a lot of people were checking him out, seeing what he was all about today, and we had an opportunity to catch up with him after the workout and ask him about his thoughts on being a Saskatchewan Rough Rider.
It was awesome. It was a lot of fun to be out here with all the guys. I feel like I haven't played football in a really long time, so just being out here was a blast for me, and I feel like it went well.
Tell me about some of the adjustments, some of the things you've learned already just being up here for a short amount of time.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is just getting used to all the rule changes, you know, the bigger field, extra guy on the field, one less down, and the downhill motions are an adjustment for sure. So it's for me, it's just learning the playbook as good as I can, and then getting the reps on the field, getting the mental reps when I'm not getting the reps, and just adjusting.
What is the biggest adjustment? Is it the field? Is it the extra guy? What's the one thing you need to contend with and master first?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of all those things. I don't know if it's one thing in particular. It's just getting the feel for everything. What are the windows like when I'm throwing? What is the rush like up here? The spacing on the field, everything like that. Just getting a feel for it.
How is timing? You mentioned you haven't played in a while. How long is it to get your timing back? How long does it take?
Yeah, I mean, I felt pretty good today. Obviously, we only had our first install in today, so we're just going to continue to keep adding more and more plays. So for me, it's just, you know, memorizing those as well as possible and trying to execute them as the playbook says.
You have big school pedigree behind your name. Is that an advantage coming in?
I think so. From everything I heard about Saskatchewan and the Rough Riders is just a huge fan base out here, and they love the Riders, and you know, there's some sort of pressure to win. Everybody wants to win, get back to the winning ways, and I think I played at two big schools that had that pressure that they needed to win every single game. So I think that just helps me having that experience.
So what are you doing to go ahead and show the coaching staff that you're ready to take a step forward in that quarterback room?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just having whatever reps they give me and trying to make the most of them. Just trying to execute the playbook as they say, and just giving as best effort as I can.
Now, Jack, there's a lot of quarterbacks in that quarterback room. What's it like working with, say, a guy like Trevor Harris, an established veteran in this league?
It's amazing. Trevor's an unbelievable dude, and he's my roommate here in the dorms, which helps out a ton. So just sort of learning his routine and the way he processes things and sees plays has been a huge help so far, and it's a great experience for me to be able to learn from a guy like him.
Now, you talked about the NCAA with Wisconsin and Notre Dame. How do you take the next step from that level to the pro game?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's just staying in the moment, not looking in the past or looking ahead, just being right here, right now, and really enjoying this moment and making the most out of every rep I get.
There you go. New quarterback.
Yeah.
Jack Cohn.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How would you like to be the roommate of Trevor Harris at camp?
You know what? That's where you shut your trap and you turn your ears on, right? Like you absolutely just take in as much as you can. Not only is that going to benefit you, but the coaches are going to see that too. And Trevor's going to tell them, you know, what you're like as well too. You just got to be a sponge of knowledge, I think, and realize the opportunity you have and do a lot more listening, less talking. And if you are talking, ask more questions.
And clean the microwave. If you're sharing a room, clean the microwave.
Yeah, if you're making pork missiles in the old mic. Hey, that's a strategic placement, though, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It was done with purpose, for sure, and intent. And you can hear how well or how much he has dived into that playbook. He looked very comfortable. Now, again, there were some times where you could see him at the wrong hash mark, right? Because there are the two sets of hash marks at Griffith Stadium, one for the U Sports and one for CFL. But again, you can tell that the guy's got talent. And head coach Corey Mace, one of the things he's talked about very openly is that we need to develop quarterbacks, and this could be the development project.
Yeah, they're going to get a lot of that for the next little while, right? This rookie camp is a little bit of that, right? You just guys like, hey, no. Over here. Come on now. You're close. Get over here. Just a little bit. Yeah. And then special teams as well, too. I notice that, too, whenever you attend camp, because especially punt cover, you know, guys are getting way too, because they're not respecting, as we heard, Weston Dressler was on the show a little bit earlier. There's one of the things that he really loved about returning punts in the CFL is that 5-yard halo, right? Of course, the no yards call and all that. But if you're returning the punt, you're loving that because it's obviously a little bit, you know, a little bit of pressure off your mind to just catch the ball, not worried about somebody trying to take your head off. So there's going to be a lot of them people getting used to these things.
Every year you watch, and it's not just a Riders game, you watch a CFL game and there's a guy that's kind of brought in. He's only been brought in a couple of weeks and he's down on punt coverage and he totally forgets about the no yards.
Boom! Lights somebody up and you're like, Dave! And he hops up right away going, you know, thinking, oh, did I ever? And guys are like, yeah, way to go. That was awesome. Yeah, okay, yeah.
15.
Yeah, the other way.
If you go to sportscage.com, by the way, guys, you will see the entire rundown of the practice plan today from day one of rookie camp. Drill one, special teams one was the halo.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Teach him. Well, for two reasons, I think, because they got to find out about that rule, and also so nobody gets hurt.
But also, it's attention to detail.
Exactly.
Right?
Because I was just going to say that.
Natural instincts take over.
Yeah.
And who can have that attention to detail to be dialed in mentally, not only to do it physically at a full sprint? Like, they had the players run three at a time around what would equate to a tractor tire.
Yeah.
They had to run around it. So you do a full 360 around it, then you take off downfield. So you're a little disoriented. You have to observe the halo when you get there, and then you go ahead and complete the play.
Turn your brain on.
Yeah. Well, think about it, right? You're so revved. You probably didn't get much sleep. You're so revved. First day of camp. And then, like Dave said, it's a mental thing. It's attention to detail. Can these guys think when they're revved, when they're in the moment? So there was a tractor tire.
Well, it looked like a tractor tire. Well, it was a Sasky thing.
That'd be Sasky, though.
Yeah, they brought one.
Quality tire drill of the day.
There you go.
There's a John Deere. The guy drove his John Deere on there.
No,
and
free
then
plugs for John Deere.
Okay, yeah. He drove his tractor onto what used to be the track around the football field at Griffith Stadium, and then he put it on blocks. They used it, then he put it back on, and he drove away. That would be the Sasky neighborly thing to do.
Yeah.
What, so after day one, Dave, so tomorrow, I was going to ask you, do you know how many days have these guys been in the dorms? Like, when did they get in?
Moved in predominantly yesterday.
Wow.
Predominantly, yeah. 59 players. 59 rookies are there. And of course, the veterans are going to report on the weekend. Their first workout goes on Sunday morning. So yeah, moving in and meeting new teammates and getting dialed in again. I don't know how much advance work goes on the playbook. There's obviously some before you arrive in Saskatchewan, but you can tell the guys that did and didn't do their homework for sure.
Figuring out where the mess hall is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you're like any of the rookies coming in, you're keeping your nose clean. Not like back in the day. I'd like to ask Suits, probably back in the day, you know, guys probably, we jetted out to some Sammy's Grape Escape place.
And I was going to say,
had a few.
Went over to the Patricia.
Or what was the bar on campus there called? for the longest time.
Well, it's always been Louis.
Louis, that's
still Louis. It's still Louis. It's actually still there.
Louis is still there.
Yeah, just in a different identity. It looks a little different now. It doesn't look like when you and I were there, but it's still downstairs. It's still downstairs. Same spot.
To be honest, I think I went into that place once. Dave, for you, we got about 40 seconds here.
Yep.
For you, it was a big day for you as well, right? Going to camp as the new voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. A few butterflies when you walked through those gates?
Oh, absolutely. And again, I was greeted with a member of the Riders team saying, hey, that's the new voice of the Riders. And my the hair in my arm stood up. It was pretty cool.
They give you any swag?
No, not yet.
Well, yeah.
Put you to work right away. Hey, go see that tire over there? Go run that out. Run
yard line. Make sure you stop 5 yards away.
Dave brought the tire. Don't kid yourself. Dave brought the tire. Didn't want to get into it. This kind of guy he is. Yeah.
Dave is back in the 5 o'clock hour with a little Corey Mace interview he did. It is the home of Rough Rider Training Camp, the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
If it's happening in sports in Saskatchewan, we've got it covered. The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. On your radio at 620 CKRM and online at sportscage.com.
Sasky, it's the all-new Sports Cage. It's Shank, it's Bids, it's DT, also known as Dave Thomas, up in Saskatoon. He's been at camp all day. We're going to get back to him in a bit on the camp front. We've been asking people, and it's been pretty good on the old Capital Ford Lincoln text line, an athlete that just seemed odd in a different jersey. We had Wayne Gretzky in the St. Louis Blues. Bidsy, you went with who?
I went with Wendell Clark was a big one that came up to me because Wendell Clark fan, you know, Maple Leafs, whatever, and him being in the Islanders. Another one, though, that I brought up two other ones in the NBA, and that was Michael Jordan, of course, at the end of his career with the Wizards, and Shaq with the Celtics. A lot of people don't even remember that one.
Yeah, Dylan texted in, and he said, Akeem Olajuwon in a Raptors jersey. I do not remember Olajuwon in a Raptors jersey. Terry texted in, said Darian Durant in a Montreal jersey. Jerry Rice in a Seahawks.
Names?
Maury in a Seahawks jersey. Jerry Rice in a Seahawks jersey. I don't remember that one at all.
Yeah, that was right at the end. It was odd to see him even in a Raiders jersey, but another one was Jeff Garcia. I always think of Jeff Garcia, of course, former CFL, great going to the NFL and then really making a name down there. I just think about him in a 49ers. Mm. Maybe a little bit of the Eagles, but yeah.
Okay, so Dave Thomas, what comes to mind for you?
Well, the two, I don't know, Bidwell's making the rules here, so I'm going with two then.
All right.
I would say Ray Bourque in an Avs jersey. Like, even though he won a Stanley Cup, he's always going to be a Boston Bruin to me.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff Fairholme, when he went to the Argos. Fairholme in an Argos jersey just didn't seem right.
I forgot about that one as well. Just like, who was it, KD, that said Jurison in an Argo jersey. That one was... Yeah, so it's all. You can always jump in 936-6262, Capital Ford Lincoln text line. And I do have to say, I gotta own it. Brad texted in chirping me. I love it. Seriously, saying that Durant had three receptions for 20 yards is torching the Riders. Dressler. Yeah, and it wasn't a Labor Day game. It wasn't that Labor Day game. It was a different game there. He runs right up the seam. I pulled it up. It was like 20-yard line to probably 80-yard touchdown. He went right up the seam on the Riders in that Winnipeg Blue Bombers jersey, and it's like, oh, Dressler. Yeah, that one was weird for me. Okay, back out camp. Rider training camp reports all brought to you by Souls Harbor Rescue Mission in Regina, showing compassion and kindness to our neighbors in need. For more information or to donate, see SHRMSK.ca today. All right, Dave, now time. You said it's Saskatchewan. Everybody, you know, is worried and has eyeballs on the quarterbacks. It's Saskatchewan. Everyone wants to know what the head coach has to say.
Yeah, we call this What Matters to Mace. It's brought to you by Quality Tire with 9 locations across Saskatchewan, qualitytire.ca. You're a golfer. I give you this analogy. Mm-hmm. So you get that brand new driver for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
and you got to wait and you got to wait and you got to wait till you can use that. Think about being the head coach of the Saskatchewan, Corey Mace. Is that not where you're at? You get hired back some, 200 days ago or so, and you have to wait before you can finally get on the field.
Yeah. It's like buying your kid a bike for Christmas. Yeah,
exactly.
In Saskatchewan.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely. Like, well, this is a cruel joke.
Well, yeah. Today, he was able to finally go ahead, bring the green whistle out, and indeed it was a green whistle that he had on the turf over at Griffith Stadium, and he was able to finally get out onto the field with his charges, and, well, we asked him what it felt like.
You know, this is what you wait for, and not even just myself, the players and all the rest of the coaches. You know, it's been a great offseason, but it's been a long one being away from football, so everybody was excited to be out here today.
Well, Coach, give me your impressions of the first day of camp.
Yeah, I thought the intensity was good. I thought the attention to detail was really good. I thought, from the base level of a rookies coming in, the understanding of what we're trying to get done was pretty high from the meeting rooms, and taking that to the field, of course, there's going to be, you know, mistakes and stuff like that, but we're okay. We're ready to coach off those.
How has the American acclimation gone, if you will, on day number one?
Yeah, not bad. Again, same world, right? First practice for those guys, and, you know, you get kind of locked into football mode when you get out there, and you got to remind the guys subtle details of the CFL game, but that comes with it at every rookie camp. By the time they get really, hopefully, by tomorrow, but worst case, by training camp, you know, they'll be locked and loaded, ready to go.
So right out of the gate, who's impressed you?
A lot of guys impressed me, man. We got a few turnovers defensively from the DBs in the back end, quarterbacks and having the command of the huddles. Obviously, those are something that we're obviously looking at tight. And certainly, I really like the way that the offensive lineman was moving today. So they got some snap and some pop to them. You know, not too many big lugs out there. So that's exciting to see.
Now, where could rookies get some opportunities on this team? Have you identified any areas?
Yeah, I think, some of the spots that we earmark, you know, definitely that left tackle position is something that we're going to be looking at. And, you know, some of these guys out here have an opportunity to make waves and push for a position there. Defensively, there's going to be some spots open in the back end, corner spots. There's going to be some competition, necessarily for rookies, but other guys coming in. But even at the linebacker position as well, the wheel spot, you know, we're really excited about Eau Claire, but, you know, he's going to be pushed by some of these young guys. So, we breed competition in everything we do. So, you know, you can't really pull back from that. You got to embrace it and really slug it out, baby.
Now, obviously, there's a wide array of backgrounds, as you would expect with any team, from NCAA to the NFL. It should make for some great battles, right, Coach?
Yeah, it should. You know, we've all seen it, you know, from a staff standpoint. You get guys from big schools or played a while in the NFL, and it's not always conducive to being an excellent player up here. So, I try to, lean on those guys to have them understand that the game's different, and it might have to change the style of their play a little bit. But if they've taken anything from where they were, from big programs or down in the NFL, is the compete level, that definitely translates. So if they're ready to work humbly and bring that, they should be putting themselves in good position.
So personally for you, this was your first practice session as a head coach in the Canadian Football League. What was it like?
Yeah, it was really cool. There was a couple times there I didn't know what the hell to do with myself, Rob. You know, I'm just walking around. I'm used to being a little more hands-on, but it was good to kind of take it in from a wide scope and kind of have input. You know, to this point, I've never been able to watch anything that the offense does during practice, you know, so that was cool to go check out those guys. And, our coaches are doing an outstanding job, and it's showing, it's translated to the team crews.
So what did you do?
I just walk around and take it in, enjoy, taking a couple notes here and there from practice, and just things that I'm seeing, different intangibles and stuff with detail that, you want these guys to take heed to. And, it's good. I love, sitting in the office and listening to the coaches and what they like to do. But seeing, the coaches in action for me is also as much exciting as to see some of the players in action. So it's really good for us as a staff to be out here for the first time, and even better to see these guys out there practicing.
Now, obviously, there's a lot that the players can get out of a camp. What do you want your coaching staff to get out of this?
Yeah, I think the main thing for us is, that I talk to the staff about is investing in these rookies. If rookies coming in and kind of set the floor or the foundation of what we're trying to build. So, the more we invest in these rookies, the rookies are stronger, the floor and the foundation for us to build upon, right? So that's what I'm looking at, is making sure that we're putting the time in with these guys and seeing it translate. I'm telling you, I was pretty impressed with some of the things that these guys were able to do today compared to, you know, years prior me coaching. So it's good.
Now, maybe going back for a moment to the transition of players from where they were to where they are, how is the transformation of American players going?
It's funny. It's one of those things, you know, everybody gets excited about the American guys that you pick up. But, you know, early in practice here, it's the Canadians. You know, they know the rules of the game, and that's to their advantage. So, you know, everybody's going to have their speed bumps. You know, for some guys who might, you know, be from U Sports, it could be the speed that they're being accustomed to seeing guys that, you know, playing against guys who've been in pro camps before. But there's advantages everywhere. That's the cool part, is to seeing how guys adapt and conquer from that standpoint.
So I guess on day one of rookie camp, your message would be what? How does a young player who has a limited window and an opportunity to stand out, how do they do that?
Make plays, man. This is a production-driven business, right? We all know that. Certainly, there's a lot taken into doing your job that'll show up on tape, but you can do your job and then some. You know, you're standing out.
Yep, then you're standing out. So, head coach Corey Mace, and what matters to Mace, our coach's commentary this afternoon on the training camp report.
He was talking about everybody gets all jazzed about the Americans, right, because they're talking about, you know, this guy that might be coming in, or this guy here, because I guess they're new, and it's the shiny new thing, and people get fired up about American football, of course. But he was saying it's the Canadians, really, that have the advantage right now, because they know the game. Now, I'm thinking, I wonder if these guys, if you're a fly on the wall with these guys tonight, I would be talking to somebody like we were talking about Catley Joseph before, UVS Husky that's there with them. I would be sitting down after, you know, in the mess hall after you really strap on the old fee bag and chow down. I'd say, hey, Catley, so how does it work again? So when he kicked, yeah. So it's 5 yards all the way around him, or just in front of him, or like, and how the receivers, so they can waggle and they can, so I would think right now, like, these guys are just, you know, they're playing catch up, right? They're trying to be sponges.
Yeah, well, and the one on the other side of the ball, conversely, U of R Ram receiver Deshaun Mims, he got all kinds of targets today. And why are you targeted? Because you're in the right spot.
You're not offside,
yeah,
for one.
Where the quarterback knows where you're going to be, yeah, you're going to get the football thrown your way. And he had a lot of opportunities today and really did well. Did well. And I know that a lot of people took notice of what he did today.
Corey Mace, like, let's put ourselves in his shoes, right? For the last few months here, he's come into the absolute pressure cooker that is Saskatchewan as the head coach now. And he's got camp rolling, Griffith Stadium, you know, University Drive there, you go by it. Like, Toronto, you're in a place like Toronto or Ottawa, you're driving by and people are like, oh, some guys are out there playing pickup football.
Yeah.
Here, like, the pressure is now real for the fella.
Oh, I think so, but he hasn't wavered in who he is.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what's going to do him well, in the fact that in the brief amount of time that I've had to be around him, absorb his personality, is the fact that he stays true to himself. And that authenticity, I think, is going to take him a lot of places. And you can see it, whether there was fans in the stands that he was talking to. There's a gentleman that brings a beautiful classic car to the side of the field and talks to the coach about it right at the end of the workout. He's got all kinds of time for people. That's what's going to do him well.
He's going to get used. There's going to be classic car guy, and then there's going to be card guy.
What?
There's going to be a lot of guys.
What kind of classic car are we talking? Like a, you know, 57 Chevy? We're talking an 88 CRX?
No.
A Volare. Yeah.
No, it was a Ferrer. What was it? Fairmount? I think it was a Fairmount. It was beautiful. It was
Ford
class.
Fairlane?
That was what it was. Thank you.
I saw you struggling there. You almost, I saw
was
you,
like, what the heck kind of
Dave's
car was it?
He's going to give himself a nosebleed here. Hey, I've been to Barrett Jackson. I've been to Barrett Jackson with my dad Ray about 5 times, so I got all there the education go from him. Yeah, he's going to meet all these Saskatchewan people. They're going to come from different walks of life. They're all going to be different characters, right? Mm-hmm. And it's all part of the lovely process that he's going to go through. Speaking of characters, though, Corey Mace is one. He's a jack-up kind of guy. Like, he gets everybody all jacked up and fired up. And I'm sure the practice, was it, Dave? Like, you could feel the excitement, if you will. Guys were ready to already run through walls or whatever Corey Mace wanted them to do.
Yeah, well, after the break, they had a break in the middle, and then okay. They got themselves warmed up again. And after the break, you could hear him say, let's dial up the intensity, something along those lines. And you could hear the players. Again, these are rookies. First time they've been on the field with a new coach. Yes, sir. And they were ready to go, and it was like, that is so cool that they've gone ahead and they're buying into what he's selling already.
There's probably some poor rookie that's like, this is as hard as I've ever worked. What am I supposed to dial up? This is it for me, man.
Yeah, I'm maxed.
You say I got to stay 5 yards away from the punt returner? What the heck?
I want you to keep a little Hawkeye there on the side, you fellas up there, on my guy. I'm really rooting for a Joe. To make some things happen here,
and you just love his handle. He's got a great handle.
I love his school, his alma mater.
Yeah, the Bronkbusters.
Yeah, Garden City. Let's go, Bronkbusters. So tomorrow they fire up again, bright and early, Dave.
8:30 till noon over at Griffith Stadium is when they'll get going once again.
All right, Dave Thomas. It's been a long day. And now you can go relax and watch. Yeah. Who are you taking tonight? Boston, Florida, and Edmonton, Vancouver. Who do you got?
Oh, I'm a big Canucks fan, man.
Are you?
Oh,
huge.
Good
huge.
To know.
Hey, Tiger Williams is from Weyburn, right? There's the Weyburn right. connection. His brother, the late Len Williams, was my phys ed teacher. So
yeah, they don't come and affect it. Tiger Williams also taught Bidzy how to... skeet shoot in Regina about 4 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, he's really good at it.
Oh.
He's really good at it. He can run a good gun. He can run a good gun, that guy.
Good family. Yeah. Dense family.
So are you thinking with your head or your heart here? You like
Canucks? I know the Oilers are going to steamroll us at 5 because we're down to our 7th or 8th goaltender, but you can dare to dream, Arnold.
And then what about Boston, Florida? Do you think Florida answers?
Florida will answer big time tonight.
Answer. All right, go get some sleep. You're up bright and early. Good job today, Dave.
Get a bucket hat, too. I don't want to see you all sunburned right off the top.
I know, I'm telling you.
Because you're going to be toast then for the rest
of it.
Rookie
move.
You're going to be walking around with that zinc on your nose from like one of the 80s surfer movies or something.
Head out into a classic car.
Any of the golf courses, the Willows or Saskatoon Golf and Country Club. They have a bucket hat that you can wear. All of our rider our training camp reports are for Souls Harbor Rescue Mission in Regina, showing compassion and kindness to our neighbors in need. For more information or to donate, see shrmsk.ca today. It is the home of Rider Training Camp, the Sports Cage, and 620 CKRM.
Back to the all-new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM.
Saskatchewan, it's the all-new Sports Cage. Barney Shinkerick, Derek Bidwell, Dave Thomas finally going home to get some rest today. Absolute workhorse.
That's a long day.
Yeah, first day of Rider Training Camp. We'll be at it. This is the home of the Riders and the home of Rider Training Camp for the next week and a bit. So a lot going on. Hey, Bidzy, you always, this part of the show, I always like... testing your brain, all right? So on this long...
I'm one for one. I'm shocked.
Yeah, the Roger Bannister.
Let's cap it there.
Roger Bannister was awesome. You did great there, yeah. Okay, so before we get into the sports one, you won't get the sports one. You know, you might. I'll tee it up for you. But this is a big day in history, just in general, in 1945. What do you think? Okay. 1945. Why would it be a big day in history, 1945? I don't want you to hurt yourself.
You can see me. You can see me struggling.
Germany's surrender.
I was gonna say.
World War II.
Yep. I just didn't want to get it wrong, though, because I'm just going to feel like such a fonz. And my dad is such a World War II aficionado that my dad would probably get a cuff in the back of the head or something like that. So I didn't want to sound dumb.
I'm not an aficionado, I would say, but I am kind of turned into a little bit of a nerd, like those Netflix series that you can watch, like World War II in color and all this. And just some of it just blows my mind. And then my wife looks at me like I'm weird because I'm sitting in the basement watching it till 1 a.m. And then, okay, sports wise. In 2006, this rookie goaltender was the first to win all 6 of his first career playoff start. Played in the Western Hockey League. He was good. 2006. Rookie goaltender. He won all six of his first career playoff starts. And he guesses Colson, and he guesses Dylan here. Think Western Hockey League goaltender that was really good in that 2006 to 2012, 13, 15-ish.
Oh, I don't know. Nothing. Martin Jones?
Martin Jones. Is he even a goalie?
Yeah. Martin Jones. He played for the San Jose Sharks, had a good run with them.
You think he won six straight playoff games, is it right? Okay, no. It was Cam Ward.
Cam Ward. Everybody says it as soon as you give him the answer. Yeah. I had that right on the tip. Hey, it was either Jones or Cam Ward.
Firing right now. We're getting ready to drop the puck. It's game two, Bruins and Panthers this evening. Predictions, I think Eric Francis earlier in the show and Dave Thomas both predict the Panthers bouncing back tonight. How about you?
I am a Bruins believer. Good. I like that squad after that Leafs, obviously, seven-game series. I'm not a fan of Tkachuk just because of my time in Calgary, the way he kind of blew off the Flames after. And it's everybody's right to play wherever they want. If he doesn't want to live in Calgary, he doesn't have to live in Calgary. But he took off to Florida. And I know they made a deal there, but it didn't really work out that great for the Flames. So I don't know. When he left, I don't know. I just thought that, you know what, I kind of not rooting for him anymore. So I like the Bruins. Marchand, I know he's, you know, a lot of people don't like him either as a...
Oh, he's so good.
Disturber, but he is such a good... He's not, as Eric Francis said, he's not trying to lick anybody's face in a scrum anymore, but he'll do whatever it takes to win. If he's got to play psychological warfare with you, he will as well. I think they've really... Talk about different leaders, though, in Boston, eh? Shinks? You talk about Patrice Bergeron, and then you go to Marchand? But he's getting the job done, and I don't think you and Francis thought that Boston could win that series, but I believe that he and the Bruins can take out the Panthers. That's what I'm hoping for anyway.
I got to watch those two guys play live once, Marchand and Bergeron. Mm-hmm. No, I knew they were good. Then I watched them play live and I was like, yeah, these guys are a next level. Oilers Canucks. Like I talked about when we had Eric on, I would like to see the Canucks absolutely try them, run them out of the rink tonight, kind of throw it in. I'm not saying be dirty. I never said it dirty. Every possible finish of a check, when you get that knee into the quad and you Charlie Horseville, they're going to have to hammer Edmonton at some point to get out of this series. You're not going to be able to go fire wagon with them.
No, I mean, exactly. If you can't match them strength for strength, if you are not as talented as them, then you have to win in other ways, right? So you got to be more physical, or you have to get in their head and rattle their cage a little bit. You got to play mind games with them. If you are the less talented team, you got to find other ways to win, and being physical and thumping them out of the gate, and maybe, like you said, making them wake up with a lot of ice packs and that sort of thing, and maybe what you got to do, you sacrifice the first one. And worry about the rest of them.
Like Reggie Dunlop said, you got to mind. We can't say it's a radio program, but
he was a good player coach.
Yeah, Reggie really Dunlop. Nice, really nice coat too. Nice combo setup. We're coming back with a couple more texts on weird jerseys on players. It's the all new Sports Cage on the home of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, 620 CKRM.
Don't miss a minute of the all-new Sports Cage. Podcasts are posted at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
Can you please tell that story that you just told? The people got us the Reggie Dunlop going into break. You got to tell it quickly.
Okay. So yeah, you mentioned Reggie Dunlop. Of course, everybody remembers him. Paul Newman. Reggie Dunlop was the character in Slapshot. He had this amazing 70s leather jacket, 3/4 length. I think it had a little bit of faux fur around the collar. It was amazing. And I said, nice reference to Shink on Reggie Dunlop's jacket there. And then he said, yeah, every time we go to Value Village, if Andrew and I go there for looking for odd things, we'll walk in and then I make a hard left or whatever it is. And she goes, oh, you're going to look for the Reggie Dunlop or the Slapshot jacket. You're looking for the Slapshot jacket. What's his name again? Oh, Reggie Jackson. You're going to look. Derek's going to look for Reggie Jackson's jacket again from Slapshot. Yeah.
That's totally something a wife would do. I love it. Okay, we are the sports leader now in Saskatchewan. We've covered the Melfort Mustangs as they went through the SJHL playoffs. Now they're going to the Centennial Cup. Bidgie, it's been a heck of a run for the fellas.
Wow, just amazing, you know, to get past the Bombers the way they were able to do that and win the first two and then on the road and then, you know, win them in thrilling fashion after that. And now they're moving on to play for the national championship. I know everybody here is excited. And, yeah, we're just going to start watching, I guess, tomorrow.
Back out on the Western Pizza guest hotline and the fellas from Melfort, we covered these series with them. And if you've been following the Sports Cage, you know it was an absolute roller coaster for all teams involved, especially the Melfort Mustangs. We got Chase Freetmore and Trevor Blevins, head coach, joining us. First off to you, Blevs. You guys are heading into Oakville, Ontario for the Centennial Cup. To be honest, like, how many of these teams do you know anything about?
Well, with technology nowadays, it's actually not too bad. We got pretty good video and, you know, just a lot of access to different things online. And then obviously reaching out to some coaches and getting a feel for, you know, kind of what they bring. But you're right. You're going in a bit green, but, you know, I think we got to focus in playing the way we can and playing our way and making sure we take care of business for ourselves.
When you go to this Junior A, like, I remember following it a bit last year and watching, there was some parity, and then some of the leagues, like, I know you're going to say we don't want to take anyone lightly on, or anything like that, but are some of the leagues maybe not at the level that the, you know, the AJ, the SJ, some of these other leagues are?
Well, you fired me with a loaded question there, but I mean, I think that, you know, our first couple games will definitely be the hardest when you look at competitiveness wise. Mm-hmm. But you know, the SI and the NO, I mean, they're considered maybe a little lower, but boy, I'd have every other league there, you know, right up there. Like when you look at the Maritime team that we have to play, they have 13 major junior players on their roster. Winkler plays a heavy game and they're successful and it's a tough league to win. You know, and they gave us a lot at the showcase too, the SJMJ showcase. So, you know, and even the SI team, it's a brand new team with the Sioux Lookout Bombers, and they kind of rolled through that league, actually. So, you know, they're going to be decent. And, you know, and you got the host team with Oakville that plays on that rink, knows how to play. It's Olympic size ice we're playing on. So, you know, I think it's going to be hugely competitive and very similar to kind of what we came through here in the past for the SJHL playoffs.
You answered that like a true pro, Blevs. I love it. I love it. Okay, Chase, over to you. Let's go back to that Flin Flon series. And, you know, obviously I talked to Van last week. Pretty surprising you guys take two in Flin Flon, and then you come back. You guys got all the momentum. There's probably at some point, though, in those two games where they rattled them back off to you that you know, you as a leader on this team, you're going, oh, no, like, we got to regroup here.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, going into the Whitney Forum, knew that the Bombers would have been sitting around here for a bit, so we knew we had to come in. We just played that wild game seven, so we were coming off a high, right? So coming to that the Whitney Forum, our group was very energized, and you know, we came out there in the first game and really put up a statement. I don't think anybody was really expecting that, but you know, it's something that our group knew we could do. And then yeah, like there were times, especially in that game two, where they pressed, they had you know, numerous power plays in that game too, but we played just a great, great defensive game and came away ultimately with the two wins. Anytime you can come out of the Whitney Forum only giving up three goals in two games, you got to be pretty proud of yourself, right? And then coming back home, we knew we could put a stranglehold in this thing, and that's exactly what we did, going up 3-0. Game four, we knew that they were a great hockey club, and you know, they got one back, and then game five, we didn't play really up to our standards. And then coming back game six, we knew we had to wrap it up, and that's exactly what we did.
Yeah, that worked out all right. So did you guys have a few days off, like a chance to kind of maybe get away from the rink a bit and decompress?
Yeah, we had a couple days. We won a Tuesday, so we had Wednesday, Thursday off to kind of just decompress and, you know, regroup, get ready to come back for the Sen Cup. So, yeah, we had a couple days to rest and recover.
What did you do? Did you get any golf in like Ven was, or what did you do in those 2 days off?
Yeah, a couple rounds of golf. I'm not the greatest golfer, so didn't go too much. But, yeah, just hung out with the teammates, and then my family's just 50 minutes down the road, so I was able to catch up a bit with them, and that's kind of what I did during my 2 days off.
As a leader on this team, I kind of asked your coach there, you guys are going in and playing teams that you maybe are only scouting on some tape, watching some tape. It's a little bit different for you guys as players going in. They're kind of sight unseen, right?
Well, exactly. Yeah. Like, we don't really know a whole heck of a lot on the other teams, but, we're up for the challenge. Yeah, I haven't watched too much tape yet, but I know we'll get into that here in the next coming days here. But just take one opponent at a time, and we're looking forward to the new challenge.
How do you for yourself? How does your game change when you get onto that big Olympics ice? Like, Notre Dame obviously has it in your league. What do you do differently when you play on a big ice surface?
Well, I think especially it's helpful in the offensive zone, because you can be a lot more. A lot more mobile, a lot more time and space. The D zone, it's a lot tougher to close time and space on the flip side of it. So, it's just a matter of being on top of guys and knowing where your guy is.
Trevor, back to you. You've been there once as a coach and once as a player, the elusive Centennial Cup. Are you sleeping well at night going into this thing?
I'm sleeping great. It's been unreal. It's been busy with the planning, but yeah, I always keep circling back, Shinks, to, a minute 30 left in game seven, we were down by one goal. And, that's how close it was to being over. And so everything's a bonus, to be honest. It's been an unbelievable ride. I think we're enjoying it. But one thing about our group is that we're focused in, we're dialed in, like even after the 2 days off. Man, this group come to the rink and, the first practice was a little rough, I think, but hey, Shinks, after a couple days. But, we've been dialed in here for the last couple practices, and it's been good to see. It's like we haven't missed a beat, and we're ready to go.
When you go back to the year that, you were there as a coach, and then the year that you were there as a player, are there any similarities from this team to those teams, or really none at all?
I think you can pinpoint on two things just coming to mind right now. One is our culture and our chemistry. For instance, yesterday we had a golf day and everybody was mixed in. I didn't even have to tell them. It was actually a pretty special moment as a coach to show up and know that they had it organized and there was no clicks in your team. You just, everyone put their names in the hat and figured it out. That's fantastic. So that's our group right now. It's a brotherhood, I feel. Everyone's pulling for each other. Chase could probably speak more to that. But I think the second one is character. And when I played and coached, these teams just had unbelievable character in the dressing room. There's this resiliency and a no-quit attitude. And we have a saying in our team that excuses are for losers. And we just don't let it come into our dressing room. And that's our mentality. And we get after it every day. And these guys have a high, high level of character in that regard.
Chase, last question to you. Like, when you think about this team, and like Trevor said, and not to throw out all the cliches, but when you're going to look back on this, when you're older and this group and this special group and the ride you've been on, what are maybe a couple things that you're going to go back to and say, yeah, that team was special because of this?
I think later on, I'm just going to come back to the reality of we were just so tight as a group, right? We were always trying to do things as a team. Coming to the rink was always was always, you were always happy and you were excited to come see the fellas in the morning, right? So I think that's going to be the main thing I'm going to take away from it is just how well connected we were as a group.
Yeah. Right on, right on. All right, guys, we'll be keeping tabs. Obviously, you kind of guys, you guys are Team Sask right now. Everyone's behind you, so best of luck there, fellas.
Awesome, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Barnes.
The All New Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620-CKRM.
Welcome back, Saskatchewan. Barney Shankarek and Derek Bidwell here. It is a Sports Cage. It's been a busy one. If you missed any of it, if you missed any of the Ryder Camp stuff, the Weston Dressler, the new Canadian Football Hall of Famer interview, Eric Francis, Mark O'Leary, head coach of the Moose Jaw Warriors, and then we just heard from a couple of the fellas heading to the Centennial Cup from the Melfort Mustangs. You can download it all in podcast form. Coulson's going to do his fancy work and get it up there momentarily. It is now time for the clutch performer for Nick Service in Emerald Park, your local Massey Ferguson Challenger, Rogator Gleaner, and Fendt dealer. Call 781-1077. No surprise on where we're going today for the clutch performer.
One is Atlee Calvert through for Lakovich. He was the game six overtime hero. In front, they score! Lyndon Lakovich off of bodies in front and in 36 seconds into overtime, and the Moose Jaw Warriors have won, and they are advancing to the Western Hockey League final.
So Bidzy, the clutch performer isn't Lakovich who scored or any of the Moose Jaw Warriors. It's Les Lazarek, voice of the Saskatoon Blades.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Who has so never, classy. Who has never won in all of his years of calling junior hockey and more specifically the Saskatoon Blades. He's never won. And how he handled that was just typical Les, typical pro.
It really sticks out, right? Because, I mean, I think he's now a little over 2,200 games called. 2,200
That's
games
crazy.
Called. And here the Blades go again, being so close, but not getting it done. And he handled that. Like you said, it just it stands out. If you know the circumstances and everything around it, he did not, you know, have the poopy pants. Or he was not, he handled it. As if he was, he had no connection to either team. He was an unbiased broadcaster that came. And he was Joe Buck calling an NFL game. He wasn't representing one team. Right down the middle, called it down the middle. Classy guy. Great example.
And that's exactly how he is. Like you said, I think I would have thrown my mic and
something.
Headset halfway to warming
or
through
said,
the
oh,
roof.
Oh, no! Or something. He didn't know. He announced it as if he was.
Like he was calling a national game.
Yep.
Like he was on the national, just a pro. Les Lazarek is our clutch performer this evening. Again, podcast has everything. Bidzy, what did you think of the show? Quickly.
You know, action-packed, a lot in there, a lot of stuff with the Riders. It was great. Great to have all those clips from the players as rookie camp got underway at Griffith Stadium. Loved it. Lots in it. And, can't wait for tomorrow.
That's right. We're back here tomorrow. And as we throw it to break, still one more little feature. It's going to be our man, Dave Thomas, with Around the Horn.
It's time to go around the horn for Shorty Generators. Keep the power in your hands with an automatic standby generator from Shorty Generators, the standby generator experts. It's a great time of the year for baseball in our province, isn't it? Ball diamonds filling up with players of all ages as baseball season has arrived. Now, a number of AA and AAA leagues even kicked off over the weekend with, at very least, some exhibition games to get the players set for the season. Now, in the Western Canadian Baseball League, just a couple of weeks before the season will open, we're going to continue our preview of East Division teams next week. For today, though, let's take a look at the majors, where teams are nearing the quarter pole of the season. And looking at the tops of the divisions, the AL leaders are Baltimore, Cleveland, and Texas. While leading the way in the NL, I don't think anyone's surprised to see Philadelphia out in front overall. Milwaukee and the Dodgers are also atop their divisions entering play tonight. So let's go to the other end of the spectrum. That's where we find the Toronto Blue Jays, who find themselves 7.5 games back of the Orioles and Yankees for top spot in the AL East. Now, to be honest, the Jays are in a tailspin. They've lost 10 of their last 13 games and have been outscored by their opponents by 35 runs over that span.
And yes, that includes the 10-1 loss to Philadelphia last night. What's going on? Bo Bichette is batting below 200. George Springer is scuffling at the top of the order. And Vladdy seemingly can't stick to a plan at the plate. Yes, they're all becoming more and more magnified as the team continues to struggle to find offense, turning to some minor leaguers or even guys like Davis Schneider who have proven they can do it at least sporadically at the major league level. Now, the manager, John Schneider, he's changed his messaging over the last week from preaching patience to now stressing a need for urgency, even resorting to reordering the lineup over the weekend in Washington. And the aforementioned Davis Schneider looks like he's becoming more and more of an everyday player. That being said, Schneider's also starting to show signs of frustration himself. He was tossed from last night's ball game after a disputed check swing call. Here was Schneider on the Blue Jays Radio Network post-game show last night.
If guys weren't working their asses off and trying to get better and get out of this, you know, you'd be a little bit, you know, more frustrated than you are. But the mood is fine. You know, it comes down to players in certain moments having really good at-bats or making really big pitches or making good plays on defense. That's what it comes down to. And, you know, we can all look ourselves in the face and say that we're not doing that right now. Not for a lack of prep, not for a lack of effort. We just got to get better in those spots.
Now, the Jays will wrap up their mini-series with the Phillies tonight before getting a day off to regroup prior to returning home to Rogers Center with Minnesota in town over the weekend. You know what they say about hitting rock bottom. There's only one way to go. We'll just have to wait to see if the Jays have actually hit rock bottom. And that's Around the Horn for Shorty Generators. Keep the power in your hands with an automatic standby generator from Shorty Generators, the standby generator experts.